Everybody, happy Monday night. Today is July 24th, 2023. This is Across the Pitch. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. My name is Mike Barrera. I'm joined by my fellow co-host, Jose Nunez, as well as Dave at Dave Miller, Dave GFC Miller on Twitter, Jose R. Nunez 91 on Twitter. But if you watch us all the time and you say, we have some different faces on the screen today, that's because we're joined by Kyle and Jillian Almaney from the one team we agree on. So I'll shoot to you guys first. How are you doing tonight? And thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us. Doing well. How about you, Kyle?
I'm doing great, and thank you again for having us on. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited.
Thanks. Yes. You guys had us on a couple weeks ago. Jose and I had an absolute blast. So we had to repay the favor, and I was like, we have to get him on ASAP. So thank you again for joining us.
No problem.
Before we dive into the show, Dave and Jose, I'll shoot to you guys as well. Jose, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Fun, exciting game this weekend. I think we're all eager to talk about, and obviously we got to chat about that All-Star game and the experience that our guest had while in DC. But, again, just really, I don't know if touched is the word, but like really, really, really happy about the stuff that we're putting out. I think we have some good content this week and have been posting some good stuff and getting some good traction. So it's been all around, although early in the week, a good week so far.
Yeah, Dave, how you doing out there in England today? Staying awake there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm all good. Yeah. I mean, again, looking forward to here and discuss what was, I think chaotic's probably the right word to discuss Saturday's game. I think it was just chaotic from the first minute, really. Again, we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about. And I think, again, it was good for the Union to kick off with a win, but a lot to improve on.
Exactly. And so I know Kyle and Jillian, you guys just recorded your show, the last episode earlier this week, which I was able to listen to last night. It was excellent. So before we get into the games and your DC trip, I would love to know more about your show, how you guys got started, just kind of share how people can find you, then we'll go right into your latest episode.
All right. Well, I'm a 5 for 5 Philadelphia fan. And Kyle's a 1 for 5.
1 for 5. The Union are my only Philly team.
Yeah, so, behind us, we have a few of our banners. If you could see the 360 view of our basement, basically we have banners all around. But there is a mixture of all the Philly ones, although I don't have anything Sixers down here yet. And then there's Kyle's random teams that he likes. And then, of course, all of our dupe stuff. We have like a whole wall of dupe on one side of here. But, it's one team that we agree on, the Union.
It really is. And that's how it really came to be. And it was kind of a collaboration. It started because I have another podcast that I do. And just getting to know people and talking to other creators in the community that we've grown and created friendships with. It was something that kind of came about one day. We were kind of joking. I guess it was even before the playoffs. We kind of just milled around about it, and we're both like, maybe. And then, some people were like, oh, you should really do it. You should really do it. And again, my other podcast is on YouTube, so I'm like, well, I could use this and kind of use some of my limited knowledge with that episode. And we kind of decided, hey, if we're going to do this, the Union really mean a lot to us. They kind of got us through, some good times, some bad times. And really, we have seen the fandom around our area, Lancaster, York, grow. And so one of the reasons we decided to really start that podcast was let's get more people involved and try to grow the fan base. And let's review the tailgates, let's review some of this merchandise that we're always talking about. And
like people we knew said that would be a good concept, doing more of the fan experience. And when Kyle had brought up about, oh, we should do a podcast, I'm like, what do I know about soccer except for what I've picked up by going to the games? I played like a couple years when I was a little kid, that was about it. But it was something that we both thought, hey, this would be fun. Let's tell our story here.
And from that, it really has, with the fashion segments, with us just talking to fans again, just really looking at the Union through a fan's perspective. But at the same time, hey, here are some new food options. Here's some season ticket event we went to, like the All-Star Skills Challenge we just were at. It's like, let's give these people that can't get to these events you know, here's a fan's perspective as well.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun when we get to have guests on and get different perspectives. We've had different fans on, and we've had some people in the media, obviously, you know, and you know, guys like you, and we've had some other content creators, and we had Stuart Finley on, which was
awesome.
Pretty awesome. That was one of my favorite ones.
That's great.
We're still working on somebody else, but yeah, we'll see when that happens.
Yeah, so. I know. I feel like after a while, you're just like, what can we do next? Like, who can we bring on now? You get excited to think, oh, I'll just DM this person and take a chance at it.
Right, right.
Yeah, Eric does say boo for the other four teams, by the way, Kyle. Just, you know, a little friendly banner right from our board.
I've come to expect it, you know. I've come to expect it. And, hey, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're all family here on the Union, except for when the Eagles play the Dolphins this year.
Yeah, I mean, he'll cheer for the Phillies when they're not playing the Giants. He claims that, you know, they're kind of like his secondary team.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, we know your heart lies with San Francisco, I'm sure. But I know the fashion sense segments have been kind of your recent staple in parts of your show. So I guess I have to ask the questions. And what are you guys wearing tonight? Show off some of your fashion.
All right. Well, I am wearing the Lightning Bolt kit. So to go with the classic there.
Yeah.
And
you didn't wear the white shorts, did you?
I did not wear white shorts. Are you kidding?
Good.
No.
Smart.
Back to last year.
And also, I'm not a full kit wanker, so I would not have on the white shorts.
Which, by the way, funny story, I was a full kit wanker for the Nashville game just because I had Stu's shorts on, and I just decided to throw a top on. It was like,
you really, had to there.
It was a joke.
That's
so
awesome.
And I'm wearing the Fearless 43 kit. I actually got this from a good acquaintance friend of ours, Ricky Zelfro. He was selling them, and he had posted that on social media last year, like, hey, he was getting rid of this and a top. Does anybody want him? It's some more stuff because I like to collect jerseys. You can ask her. You see my closets, hockey, baseball, and soccer jerseys. So, and with our guests and that we had on last night, it really felt like, you know, Fearless 43 felt like, you know, appropriate time to wear it. So.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. And now, I know the last episode, like I said, you guys had just gotten back from D.C. You were at the Skills Challenge. So I would love to know, for those who didn't get a chance to listen to your show yet, what was that like? What was the experience like? I know the MLS All-Star Game itself was far from exciting. So I'm just kind of curious how that night went for you guys.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun, actually. And I mean, for $15, you get to go and see all these cool different challenges. Yeah, it was just only $15. And general admission, so we got to just pick wherever we want to sit. We ended up going up in the corner, basically very much like where the away supporter section is there at DC, but on the other side of it. But so super steep, and it was really cool to see all the different things. I think for me, my favorite was the one that was like skee ball. Where they had to get the ball in the different holes for different point values.
Mm-hmm. Sponsored by Dawn, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I love how I don't know how it was on TV, but for us personally, like, it would be, here's an event sponsored by Dawn. And then they would have, like, and you could tell it was from, like, the early season press conference they did at Apple when they had all the star players going, because they had all these skits like where was soccer, what was the one where
okay
was...
so they yeah like on the Jumbotron, I guess it would be when they maybe were on a commercial break right. for everybody else, but they put on the Jumbotron a question, and for instance it was like one of the questions was who won the first MLS Cup, and they asked the players, and a few of them, they showed a few of them who got it wrong, and then Andre Blake comes on it and we're like, come on, Andre, get it right. And he did. He was kind of, he said he was guessing. And it was DC, by the way. And we're like, we just start chanting, Andre, like the two of us there. Cause you know, there weren't any Union fans around us, but we did see a bunch of Union fans actually.
There were That's a bunch. Great. It was about 75% Arsenal fans.
Yeah. Overwhelming majority.
Yeah.
People there were Arsenal fans.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, also, this, I know the whole Premier League was at the Link, and I think they're going to MetLife Stadium right now as well, or the whole you know, East Coast. So I know that's a big thing right now. But it didn't deter people from coming to the game on Saturday, which I thought was a pretty good crowd.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Union took care of Tijuana 3-1. It was a as Dave, you said, an interesting match. So I'll shoot to you first, Dave. I know you're pretty upset by that second half start. So what were your thoughts on the 3-1 win against Tijuana?
I think considering the amount of chances the Union had, I think probably deserved the win. But I think perhaps the game, again, you had to take the red card into account, was perhaps a bit closer than it should have been, especially with how early the first red card was. Again, personally for me, I didn't think it was a penalty. It was a red card. I thought the initial contact happened just outside the penalty area. So I thought the Union got away with that one a bit. Great penalty from Gazdag, by the way. But yeah, then of course, the Carranza, great finish for a second goal. My other sort of thing I took from the first half was that I don't think Quinn Sullivan or Jesus Bueno are going to score this season. I think the amount, they're just destined to never score. Like, the amount of like scrambles there were when they both had shots, hit the bar, hit the post, like players clearing off the line. I was just thinking, like, we have to get this Quinn Sullivan prediction right at some point. Like, we have to get him right at some point.
I have been like just praying for Quinn. He got an assist. So I'm like, I'm halfway there.
I should have bet you another six pack.
Dude, if you keep betting me six packs for Quinn Sullivan not to score, I'm going to be just broke from all the beer I'm buying you. No, Jesus Bueno, I thought, played extraordinary against Tijuana. I know Jim Curtin had highlighted his performance, and Jose, you actually asked him about Jesus Bueno. So what were your thoughts on Bueno? I know he was actually pretty involved with the second red card that brought down Ua.
Yeah, I think Bueno had another spectacular game, and as Jim alluded in the press conference leading to the match, I can't remember, all these different press conferences are all blending together. He's really come through in saying that, you know, he's a true professional, right? And the staff and the team as a whole is really getting behind him after having maybe a rough start. Obviously, he was and again, to sort of like jog our memories, he came through with Davo, and obviously one did not work out and one did. So to see Bueno finally start getting his flowers for his performances is awesome, and really getting the attention that he deserves, because I think he's a spectacular player, and I think sort of wasted some time playing with the Union 2 last year when he did. So it's just really, really good to see him come through and get his time. But if we're sort of backing up and talking about the game overall, really, really interesting that you know, it ended the way it did, and I think, you know, the biggest compliment to give that game is that it was such a Union game, right? Where, like, nonsense happened, but the Union were the Union, and they kept their profile and somehow snuck away with a win. And I think we continue to be, and this is totally anecdotal, probably one of the worst teams with a man up.
Yeah.
Like, we are just not great, and it is what it is, but overall, you cannot be too upset, as Jim said, about, you know, winning 3-1, probably closer than it should have been, and probably 3-1 is a generous scoreline considering everything that happened. But all in all, we look to Wednesday and hopefully closing out the group and continuing to keep Subaru Park as the fortress that the entire tournament has to run through.
Yeah, and I'll share some thoughts from the press conference, because I really do think the overall vibe was not very pleased with the performance, but listen, Kyle and Jillian, you were in the stands. You were in that fortress that Jose is talking about. So what were your experiences like from watching that game? And what were your thoughts about either the red cards or anything else that kind of led up to that 3-1 ending there?
Yeah, so it's funny. When the first red card happened, and so we're in 136 there in the River End, and a lot of people started doing the chant like, "You effed up," basically. They keep repeating it, except, you know, a few of us around there, we started saying, we're like, "We effed up. We effed up," because we know what happens. We're like, no, give back the red card. No, it's like, yeah, that's like a running joke, especially in our section there. Yeah. Like, you know, we're not good up a man. So, just it was really funny how that went down.
I know. That was a funny thing. They were like, "Red card." We're like, no, put it back in. Give us a yellow. Give us a yellow. Anything. Just we'll take the PK, not the red. But I think we did. I think when we brought that up, I forget what game it was early in the season. One of our friends brought it up and like ran some stats on it. And at the end of the day, with a man up, we still end up on the positive side of the scoreboard more times than not. It's just, I think when we go up a man, everybody thinks, like, you watch some other teams, they just take over the game, where we kind of just keep playing our same game, you know, and it's like, come on, guys, take advantage of the man up. So, I think at the end of the day, we still end up on the right side, but it does get a little frustrating how you don't see the opportunities taken advantage of like you'd like to sometimes. But it's at the same time, also science, I'm still not sure how that one goal bounces off this guy, hits the crossbar. It was science, but also I went back and watched it. Credit to Tijuana, like every time that ball, they were just cramming it. Like everybody and their brother was in the goal box. Like they knew that. Like, so you got to give them credit for being aware of that and you know working good teamwork not to get the ball in the net. But I overall thought the first half was we were really good. I wouldn't give it an A. I give it maybe like a B+. I was really happy. I thought Jose and Bueno were excellent at times, shifting back and forth. Blake being Blake, obviously, we were creating some stuff, and we did a really good job of keeping the pressure on him. And then we go to half, you know, up 2-0, and all of a sudden you come out and right away there's a goal, and you're like, what was that? And we struggled to get that third goal, and then it was like, okay, we're just gonna lock it down at 3-1, and credit to Union, they locked it down just kind of from then on. You'd like to see a couple more goals probably, especially when I think, what did Jim say, they had an XG of 6?
6, yeah.
Like, yeah, like, come on, you know. I mean, I know you probably could have gotten like a 4-1, you know, something like that. I mean, credit to him also. I mean, when I say credit to him, I mean Andre for making that PK save.
What a save.
Because that game's 2-2.
Spins on its head there.
It's awful. No, the goal you're mentioning, or the not goal, I should say, where it just bounced around like crazy. Yeah. If you watch the replay, I think I caught it last night, Olivier's cross to, I believe, Bueno was really good for a one-timer, and Bueno just takes that one too many touch. I'm like, just put it away right there, and it just caused that chaos. But the whole point between halftime, essentially from – we spoke with Andre Blake after the match, and he said – told us, listen, we had relayed the message of we have to have the standard at a high level. We cannot relax. I know it's human nature to relax, but we cannot relax. And he's like, well, the message just didn't come across. And so I had kind of followed up. Todd Lewis from the free kick had asked that question leading up to, like, you know, what happened at halftime. So I said to him, well, what about Bedoya? I mean, how much does that impact the leadership that's on the field? And he's like, yeah, it's, you know, he's our captain. He's our leader. And I know that they all rely on Alejandro on the field to be that leader, to motivate them. But eventually it's like these guys have to be leaders themselves and step up and not allow that to happen. Because you're right. If that was 2-2, you still had 40 minutes left to play. It's like that was all within the first 5 minutes of the half. But then also they had talked about Olivier being, you know, obviously the focal point of the PK rather. So they were going to speak to him after the match and all. But it kind of concerned you of how quickly that game got out of hand, especially up a man. And it's just like, you have to think, like, you can't do that against a LAFC, for example. We're just going to get buried every single time. Jose, any thoughts on that? I see you grinning over there.
No, it's absolutely true. And you know, I think we spoke about this last week when we were preparing for this tournament. And I truly do believe that Miguel Herrera was on something or on to something. Might have been on something, too, with how energized he was in the sidelines. But he's on to something when you talk about just, and we alluded to it, just how unbelievable it is that all of the games are in the United States. And I don't know if it has to do with infrastructure. I don't know if it has to do with resources or what, but we would fold like a chair if we were out in Mexico in a game like that, right? If we were even in those situations, I think it would be very tough to see the Union come through with a score like that. I think Dave and I joked about it where we just probably would have just shit the bed or sort of found a funny way to get away with some sort of result. So I'm really intrigued onto what happens from here on out, thinking about future years of the competition, because it's obvious that this is going to remain, right? They have signed multi-year agreements with Adidas, and also whatever that debit card commercial that comes through that I never pay attention to because I just mute it. So it's obvious that it's here to stay. I'm just intrigued to see in future iterations where does it go from here, right? Does this eventually evolve to a, you know, continental, as in actually shifting bodies around, maybe pods that share, you know, the same stadium for the three, kind of like what we're doing now, but extended to Mexico and maybe even Canada? I don't know. I'm really intrigued. It's obvious that it's here to stay, and it's been super fun. And whether you guys knew this or not, I was digging around a little bit, and I forget the account, so I got to give credit, but it almost seems like this is also a competition that's being used to train brand new referees, because all of the referees, if not most of the referees that are officiating games this tournament, are usually fourth officials that don't have a lot of experience on the field.
Really?
So
I did not know that.
That might go to show a little bit about, you know, the calls that we're seeing on the field. I'm not questioning the ones that we're seeing and that we saw in our game, but
I am.
You also see some odd decisions. So something to think about, and whether that's a good or bad strategy, considering the pot of money on the line, that's a different conversation. But nonetheless, just another interesting piece of about this whole new competition, and it's been so fun.
Speaking of fun, so Eric, first of all, thank you for commenting. He mentions the whole Blake never stopping PKs, obviously jokingly, but Todd Lewis, again, I'm going to bring him up from the free kick. He brought up a stat that night. He said on his career, Andre Blake is 12 or 40 for PK save. That's 30%. But since 2020, when Blake's had the same goalkeeper coach now for about 3 years, he's 44% of 8 of 18 PKs. You think about how easy it is for a PK to typically go in. I think the percentage is upwards of 85%. For Blake to be 44% over the past 3 years is just remarkable when you think about it. Kyle, Jillian, I know also from being in the stadium, they didn't really show a lot of replays much on the big screen. What did you guys think about the second red card on Michael Ulloa? Because I thought it was a little soft when they gave that out.
Yeah, I thought probably could have been a yellow. I thought it was a little soft, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's typical Ulloa, you know, doing his Euro thing where he's going to just take that flop anytime he gets around there. And, you know.
Easy. Dave's here.
But no. But it is true. It is true. Like, he's so good at times. He just does little things around the box. Sometimes I'm like, you know, maybe you don't need to take a fall there. But, you know, there's a couple times, you know, he's just trying to get a dog. So, and, you know.
To be honest, I didn't think it was a foul. It was a great challenge. I thought he won the ball. Well, yeah, the defender got the ball like completely, and of course he took Ulloa out in the process. And as you sort of mentioned, Jose, they're, you know, looking at trainee fourth officials and referees with lack of experience. Are they training VAR as well? Because I mean, they didn't.
That I'm not sure about. The piece of information I saw was solely about, you know, folks that are in the center of the park running the game being usually fourth officials, which we saw actually a couple of Union games ago. I think I had mentioned to you, Mike, where the guy who officiated a Union game not too long ago, it was only his fourth appearance as a main a center referee, which is, you know, it's pretty new at it.
No, I agree. Yeah. And Jim joins us today. Jim, thanks for coming on comment. He says MVP for Blake, of course. So when I came home late at night and I rewatched the game on Apple, and I thought you were right, Dave. I thought he won the ball first. So I was kind of surprised that it turned out to be that way. But listen, I mean, I'm not complaining. We ended up winning the game. And I honestly think that Tijuana probably would have tied if we didn't get that that second record.
I turned around and I asked my wife, did I miss something? Because I blink twice, and next thing I know, a guy's being escorted off the field. Like, what the hell just happened? I thought that was a clean tackle, but apparently not. And Miguel Herrera was not buying it either, that's for sure.
No. Well, I mean, okay, so in fairness, I mean, this kind of goes back to the MLS All-Star game. You want to watch a product that's high quality, and if you have a team that's down two men with, 60th minute, it's like, well, it kind of loses its flavor. I don't know. Have you guys, Kyle and Jillian, have you guys been watching any other League's Cup matches, or have you seen any? Like, it seems like it's so far been a pretty good product.
Yeah. Well, we have watched some of them. We were last night, actually. And of course, did watch, you know, Messi's debut, watched the Miami one. Like, it was scripted, I swear. Last night, I know, for real, probably was. Yeah. We were watching the Cincinnati and Kansas City game.
Which, again, had red cards, headbutts.
We were actually recording our pod last night, and so miss like, you know, the first bit of it and see like, you know, in a group chat, oh, you know, this game has it all so far. It's like, if you're not watching this game, the Cincy game, you're missing out. So it's like, oh, and then of course at that point they were in a rain delay. So went ahead and watched it from the beginning and got caught up in all the stuff. I mean, yeah, when you got like own goals and, you know, red cards and all this difference, lots of yellow cards going on. I was like, wow. And of course the game ended too, like, you know, with the PKs. And it's like, well, par for the course. So that was a crazy one. But yeah, it's, you know, I have watched a few of them.
I was watching, who else have I seen? I've just been, some nights when they've been on, I've just been kind of flipping through a couple of them.
So. Yeah, I know. I think Reynoso scored a couple bangers so far from Minnesota. Like, he's on the tear right
now. Go that free kick, that free kick was something.
That was nice.
Blake, I firmly believe that Blake would have saved that. And I know that's kind of like the running joke on a lot of shots that go on net. But I don't know. That I was intrigued by the Atlas game. If we're talking about games that we watched, the Atlas New York City, and maybe that's why I felt so involved today with everything that was going on with Atlas and my my translations of their unbelievable, like, unhinged tweet and then their apology, not apology, that they're taking an investigation internally and they're probably not going to say anything else about it. Just super, super interesting. But the Kansas City and Cincinnati game was great. And I meant to watch the St. Louis Columbus game last night, but I guess they also had some awful rain that had a really, really late start. And at that point I was two glasses of bourbon down. I was going to bed.
Eric kind of mentions here how, you know, he's not complaining about the bad refs because it's finally benefiting us, which I guess is true. I mean, listen, we've dealt with a lot of crappy refs over the years, so it's nice to kind of finally have it in our favor. Although, Jose, to your point, Miguel Herrera was extremely upset in the press conference. His first answer to his question was just like a 5-minute rant, and everybody, and basically besides me and Jose on Zoom, nobody spoke Spanish, so everybody's just kind of sitting there just like,
Well, there was one point where like someone, I guess, in the room asked the question in Spanish, and after he or she went, he looked around, he's like, anybody else? Like, probably looked at all of you, like, any of you? And then I guess it shifted over to the rest of us, which I didn't get a chance to ask the questions. Obviously, he's actually probably one of the highest profile coaches in Mexico, despite being for one of the, I think, worst teams the past couple of years in terms of Tijuana. But yeah, he was Miguel Herrera. There's no ifs and buts about it. He was as energetic and as crazy as you see. He certainly was living the Goku meme that he became, right, when he was on the sideline for Mexico, and how he got all fired up and turned into Super Saiyan. But overall, I actually would be very interested. I'm going to try to hop onto the press conference call tomorrow for Atlas as they prepare for their next game, which isn't for a little bit. But I want to ask, you know, like, did he get fined? Because I don't know that you get away with criticizing referees refereeing of a match that heavily and go unscathed. I don't know that you get away with that, certainly not in the NBA and the NFL. I don't know if Leagues Cup is this way or what it is, but I'm also intrigued about, as soft as some of those red cards or the one was, what did the disciplinary committee think? Right, what are they doing about it?
I think he had suggested in the press conference that he would maybe even reverse the red card.
He hoped that they do hoped. It. That's, he hoped, and he's like, I don't even know who's in the committee, but I hope that they'll take a good look at it because I don't think it should stick. I was like, well, of course you don't want it to stick. I get it.
No, I mean, it's very detrimental to them moving forward. But Dave, you have a thought on anything before?
Well, I just think, I mean, again, of course, appreciating Andre Blake, I think.
Yeah.
And just how poor the preparation for the second half was. Like, I think like Tijuana sort of very much ended the second half quite strong. They had a couple of chances, tested Blake a couple of times. You think in your head, surely we need to be focused and make sure, you know, they're going to push on. They're going to come up motivated in the second half with nothing to lose. They're going to be going for it. And lo and behold, they literally scored within about the first 20 seconds. You think, okay, the first goal goes in. And I think Jose mentioned before, and if the Union were playing in Mexico, you know, coming out of half time and then scoring with 10 men, a goal literally within 20 seconds, that stage would have been rocking. The atmosphere would have been, you know, would have been toxic from a Union sense. I mean, they probably would have crumbled. I think it would have been such a difficult environment to play in.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned the atmosphere. I mean, Kyle and Jillian, before Jose, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I mean, what did you guys think about the crowd that night? Because it's obviously not, you know, the Subaru versus NY, or Union versus NYC. It's a different type of environment. I thought the crowd was actually pretty solid for being a non-MLS game. What did you guys think from being in the Riverend?
Yeah, I honestly thought it was pretty decent. We had a pretty good chance going on.
We did.
And because I feel like maybe there were more people that were invested there, because on a regular MLS game, sometimes there's a lot of people in the River End that just are there because they're the cheap seats. I feel like maybe we had more of the invested people, kind of like when we have away games and everyone's actually chanting because they're really invested on being there. But I thought overall the atmosphere was pretty good. It did empty out a little bit earlier towards the end, I feel like.
Yeah, people were trying to get him. I mean, I thought going into that game, I was joking with a couple people that, well, EPL is at the link, you know, who's going to show up, you know, because we heard about the numbers in the press box. I'm like, is anybody going to be here? And then, well, as the game started nearing kickoff, it really started filling up. And I was like, oh, okay. And then, of course, we did all our chants. I thought there was good energy, like you said. You know, we definitely were bringing it in 136. And overall, I thought, you know, doing all those chants and the one that's now starting to make
it's becoming a thing that, you know, sha-la-la-la-la-la, that
hey,
one.
Hey, you.
Hey, yeah.
I like that. I like that. And, you know, there was just some other nice, fun chants that we haven't done all the time. So overall, I thought there was good energy. And yeah, I think it was like 75th minute started to clear out a little bit, but overall it was a nice crowd. It was a nice crowd. Maybe not 70, maybe more like 80. Like when you this game started becoming in hand, what would you say? It was like 80th minute.
I think you're right. Yeah. 80th. Yeah, give or take.
Yeah.
It was certainly dead by the time the you know the final whistle blew. It was just ready.
Yeah, it was like we got out there, no problem.
Yeah, no, it was super fast to get out. Actually, a question that Frank mentions here: does CONCACAF appoint the referees for these games? Do you guys know that question? Anybody know that question?
I would think no.
I think it's the committee. I think it's like the committee of MLS, and I had looked through all the rules. Now I don't know. I'm just guessing here. I think it's like everything else, like the credentials with the press. I think it's everything's like a committee of like MLS and League MX. So.
Okay. Gotcha. No, I agree with you guys. I mean, I've been a fan since 2012, so I've been to the Open Cup games and remembering the crowds that are at, you know, 40 or 50%, and you know, you get bread on the way out, that kind of olden days. But I was expecting more of that, to be honest with you, just because it's what I was used to for years. But they actually did a really good job. I agree with you. I thought the crowd was good. The Sha'Allah chant is certainly nice. I feel like sometimes the Sons of Ben and KSU are still not perfectly in line, and it's just like the beat's like off by half a second. But it's getting there. It's certainly getting there. I like the flashlights kind of going on. It's just a nice little touch to it. So I don't know how busy Wednesday will be, considering it's the middle of the week. I'm hoping that it's decent. I don't know when the next game would be, though. I think Jim had kind of suggested it could be a quick turnaround. But do you guys know when the next
August
game
would be? 2nd through the 4th would be the next round of
that's
games.
That's the next round.
At some point next week. So I'm actually away for work 1, 2, and 3. So I'm hoping it's the 4th. But
I'm hoping it's not the 4th because I won't be able to watch it. So I mean,
one of us is going to be screwed out of watching it eventually. So you said you guys are going to the game though, right? On Wednesday?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, great. What are your kind of thoughts on that? The game, you know, kind of what should you expect on that night?
Well, I think Querétaro is, ever since that whole thing with Atlas, Legal MX made them like sell their owners and like all the band stipulations. Like they were at the bottom of Legal MX when that went down. And then that in the spring season, they actually finished in the middle of the table, towards the middle of the table. And they had, I think I talked to you about this, Mike. They gave up like the fewest amount of goals in Legal MX too, or something like that. They were like around that number. I was talking to somebody about that. So defensively they're good, but yeah, they're offensively they can't score. I think honestly Tijuana probably offensively is tougher of the two teams that we're gonna see. I'm curious to see what the rotation is gonna be like. Because Jim mentioned that in the post game, And so are we going to see maybe – I'm really kind of liking what he's been doing with Quinn up top, where he – one game will have Uwa, you know, Carranza starting, and Uwa comes in and, you know, ideally probably would flip it the next one. So maybe you'll have Uwa start, Carranza come in, or something like that. I'm curious to see how that all plays out.
I really like Bueno being – yeah. I mean, we've always been high on Bueno, but, like, this is – it's really great to see him – in there playing really well.
And Jim mentioned that, you know, he's earning the right. And you were in there, Mike. I believe he said that on the presser, if I heard him right, on the post game, where he earned the right. He's starting to earn the right to the point they got him start having serious conversations about that.
So we can just be Richard Odata.
Well, so, yeah, that's true. So one of the things that we've been preaching all season, there's always been talking about, is what's a transition away from Bedoya. That's been that kind of concern for us. And I know with, yeah, Jose mainly, my cat is currently shifting my computer around. Hold on.
Bear with me. We know that, Chris.
Yeah. So I it's unfortunate that Alejandro is now dealing with a 2 to 4 week hamstring. I think, Jose, you tweeted out grade 2 hamstring issue. So it's going to be a significant amount of time. I highly, highly doubt he plays any League Cup at all. I don't see how he comes back for anything but the final, really, if we make it that far. But Bueno is securing that spot, I think, to start on a consistent basis. And Jim did mention in the press conference, he's going to get a lot of minutes. It's just simple as that. I don't think you can't bench him at this point. He's playing so well. Even the play where Uwa gets fouled for that red card, that ball is perfectly placed. It was very much the mirror image of Jose Martinez's pass early on to Carranza when he got fouled in the box. It was just a different Venezuelan doing it. That's all it was. So, but I mean, Dave, what do you think about Bueno? I know you've wanted some more pace, some more skill on that right side. So you finally got that on Saturday.
Yeah, I think Bueno's obviously done great when he's been called upon this season, whether he's had to sit in the six or, you know, play in the eight, which he's done with the Bedoya role. But I mean, as you sort of mentioned, like, moving away from Bedoya and transitioning away from Bedoya, I don't know if that's a Union issue or a Jim Curtin issue.
Right.
Because if you look at the unbeaten run that the Union went on earlier in the season, that 10-11 game unbeaten run, I think Bedoya got injured right at the start of that. And that coincided with the team's best run of form this season. And, you know, the team looks more fresh. There was more legs, more energy in that midfield. And again, when the Union have that energy, and we've seen it with Bueno, we've seen it, you know, the team just looks better. In transition from attack, like from defense to attack, they look so much better. And I don't think it's a yes, Bendik was poor in a couple of games, but I don't think it's a coincidence that we went on a very, very, well, a very poor run of form, not just in terms of results, but performance-wise, when Bedoya was put back into the 11. And I think it did disrupt somewhat all the hard work and, you know, the connection that the midfield and the team have built over that, you know, 6, 7, 8 week span. And admittedly, for me, I think Bedoya best suited now is for coming into games with the final 15, 20 minutes when, you know, to have that experience head in the midfield to try and help close the game out. So you just watch games when he's on the field and he's just a body on the pitch. It's like playing with 10 men. Like, he's so far behind the pace of the game at times. And I think it just frustrates me.
Galaxy, I think, the most. Yeah. I think, he's a little bit behind. But in terms of just the I just lost my train of thought. Oh, Damian Lowe. So we're talking about just the players in that run that you were mentioning, Dave. Damian Lowe was such a staple back there. So also the press conference, Jim had mentioned, you know, wanted to get Damian 15, 20 minutes to get his you know, feet under him again, because he does want to shift to three in the back, which I was kind of surprised that he said that out loud in the press.
Yes.
Go ahead. I was like, you do. What did you think about that?
I was thinking to myself, did he say that? I actually was like, is there a rewind button? Because I don't think I've ever heard him actually like want to talk about shifting away and being okay with it. Right. He's always been very, very quick to say, you know, we stick to this. These are our fundamentals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So for him to be loud and proud about shifting to the three in the back was kind of like a, whoa, let's write this down. Can we get a signature on this?
he didn't hint at it. He didn't say, oh, well, maybe. He says, I want to bring Damian Lowe in because I want to get back to three in the back. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But then he said, we're essentially unbeaten when Damian is playing. Yeah. And I really thought about it. I was like, I can't remember a game that we've lost when Lowe has played.
I think the only one that we did was the game. Was it Kansas or wasn't Kansas? Which game it was?
We drew Kansas City.
No, it wasn't Kansas. Who was it? Denos 2-1 on the road.
Miami, probably.
No, it was Miami. It was the one that Lowe scored and then got injured. Oh, correct. Oh. Jacob scored and got injured.
Oh, God. Oh, San Jose.
San Jose.
It was San Jose. I was trying to think. It's one of those light blue teams or blue teams out west.
Very descriptive. Like,
but, like, again, I think, again, he obviously, I think the union sort of leveled it up and he then went off injured. And I think, again, obviously Jim reverted to the 4-4-2 diamond and didn't, team didn't really look the same. But I think, again, perhaps hopefully Jim was as horrified as we were, you know, when with that Atlanta game playing Nate Harriels on left side of centre back and Leon Flack playing left wing backs. I'm hoping, again, that's him learning from his mistakes of, you know, changing too much of a winning team or of a winning lineup, you know. I'd be interested to see if someone like past Matt Real might get a game as well to start, I think. Again, if Jim wants, you know, to rotate minutes and get, you know, players' experience in sort of high end competitions, you know. It somewhat looks like at the moment Matt Real is going to be the heir to the throne of the left back position for Kai Wagner. So I think we all probably are in agreement that he is going to probably run out his contract and go back to Europe at the end of the season. So I think, again, it'd be nice to perhaps get Matt Real minutes in a competition where, you know, it's not going to be too detrimental if, again, they're just bets of League's Cup. I know we want to win it, but if the Union end up getting to the semi finals and then get knocked out there, you think, okay, still got the playoffs, chuck your basket, all those eggs in there. But yeah, I want to see some more players getting more minutes, even if, you know, maybe give Richard O'Dowd like 5 minutes
Game or something. Well, I was concerned with the subs. I know why they took off Gillespie and Martinez. They just played on Wednesday at the All-Star match. But I thought when Real came on, I was like, okay, great. Kai Wagner's going to rest his hamstring. And then he's just out there still playing. So I was like, well, I guess he's not going to. Well, Kyle and Jillian, I mean, what are your thoughts on what's a lineup that you would like to see on Wednesday? Because I really do like O'Dowd. I wouldn't mind giving him a chance. Sure, why not?
I mean, for me, I think I would like to see three in the back or maybe even doing that double pivot like they sometimes have run. I really like the Flock-Martinez double pivot, but also Bueno. I like when Bueno's with Martinez, so with the diamond, because I think they switch off very well and play off of each other very well. But I kind of am in agreement. I do like the three in the back because they can then rotate in back into the diamond. I mean, I've been in two pressers now where Jim's like basically giving us a breakdown how they would switch from three in the back to the diamond. Essentially, some people are playing the same exact position. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting to see that and how you can kind of, he was kind of, I think it was the Colorado or it was Red Bull. I was in the press conferences where he was just giving all these formation changes you could do. It was kind of interesting. But, you know, he'll say something and he'll never do it. But at the same time, I think he's starting to realize having Damian Lowe on the field is massive. And also, if you guys notice, when Damien's on the field, like the first person Andre goes to talk about, hey, relay these messages is him. And that's a relationship from being on the Jamaican national team. I've noticed that a couple times, like something will be a PK. He'll like pull Damien over, say something, and then you'll see Damien run out. But it's something I picked up on. But I think having Lowe on the field, I think Jim is becoming more comfortable with him. And yeah, that's my thoughts. What about you?
Yeah, I really like the three in the back. I'm a big fan of Damian Lowe. I think he's just done an incredible job every time he's been in. And so having him back, I think, is huge. And I really like the pairing of Bueno and Martinez. That's, I like so having good. Both of them on there.
Yeah, yeah, they are so good. I remember Billy pointing out to us on Saturday, they were rotating. One would go forward, the other one would flip back, one would go out out to the side, and one would go back in their position, and they switch back. It was kind of interesting to watch.
Yeah, Curtin actually mentioned how even Jack McGlynn was getting in that mix, where Bueno would kind of take up on his side, and McGlynn would play more out of the back of it. So I do like that they're versatile with what they can do. But I don't know if you guys have picked up on this at all with Damian Lowe, but I feel like he's very much a quiet vocal leader. Like he definitely will speak up. I mean, I don't know. Did you guys stay around for the little scuffle that happened after?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wasn't that him?
Yeah. So he's, I would love to hear from you guys. We were already in the press conference. We had no idea what happened. So what was that whole thing about?
You saw it more than
I actually, cause we were standing up and like kind of moving out of our seats, and we saw a kind of little scuffle going on, and I was so I actually recorded some and I posted it on Twitter. I didn't get a good view because I was also like actually getting Andre banging the drum too, but I was like, oh, what's going on down here? So, but yeah, it just seems like that the Tijuana goalie was he was saying stuff to Brujo, and Brujo was trying to like walk away and not, you know, engage with this, but it got to the point where basically, yeah, teammates had to hold Jose back.
Richter got involved. Yeah, Richter got involved. It was just interesting because when I was watching, something was said because, I mean, we've all seen Brujo furious, where he just keeps, like, you can hold him off and he just keeps walking forward. Like, something was said that set him off because it took him.
Like, Damian Lowe was having to, like, hold him basically back. Basically,
almost,
hardcore.
Like, wrestle him to the ground. It was interesting.
Yeah, because at first I looked, I was like, because I missed some of the context, like, what, you know, precipitated this. And I looked down seeing it, like at first glance, it almost looked like he and Damian were fighting, you know, but they weren't. He was just holding him back. But that's like how hard, like, Damian was having to hold Jose back.
Yeah. I think you posted the video, right, Jillian? Was that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I know there wasn't a whole lot like online that I saw. It also feels like Jesus Bueno is the opposite of Jose Martinez in a lot of ways because he won't just rip a shot from 35 yards out and he'll like, you know, try to find just the nearest outlet. But he's also like a more tamer version of Jose. Like I've seen him separate people before. Well, okay. That's not true. He tackled somebody. I think it was at the Colorado match.
We were at that game.
He put his hands on somebody's neck.
That's right. Okay, so maybe not entirely the opposite of
but he is a little bit more chill.
I think that I do like the fact that Damian is vocal, and I know we saw early this season him get on Leon Flock, I think was against Corey Burke, right, Jose, when he like got beat by Burke and he gets on Leon. You're like, holy crap, you don't see that. You don't really see that from Jack and Jacob. They're much quieter overall. They're more kind of, especially Jack Elliott, you feel like he's more like kind of, but Damian's just like, I'm going to say what I want to say, and that's, you're going to have to just deal with it. So I'm excited. I just hope that he's healthy and he can play. He's had what now, two injuries this year, Jose? How many times has Damian been down?
Yeah, he's been down, though. Yeah. I think maybe this is the benefit of being bilingual. I don't know if you guys caught this through like different sources, but during the Spanish broadcast of the match, the illness that Mr. Damian Lowe had to do with the fact that Jamaica ended their run in the Gold Cup in Vegas. So he came back not feeling great after being in Vegas for a little too long. So No, I was going to say that, interestingly enough, Mr. Damian Lowe had himself, a good time after the competition ended for them, which makes you wonder, did Andre, like, being... I don't know if Damian's a parent, but I'm guessing Andre being a parent maybe had a little bit of a different approach to celebrating after, you know, making it as far as they did. But, Damian enjoyed himself.
Yeah, Damian has a kid, I think I've seen on his Instagram.
I think he does, but still. I mean, having been to Vegas as enough
many
as we
times,
have.
Yes.
I mean, let's just put it this way. Yeah, you can get yourself into trouble in Vegas.
And now, listen, I'm saying this as just relaying from the Spanish broadcast.
I hadn't heard that.
Absolutely true. I'm not sure, but my understanding is that the commentators got that. You know how they do, like, conversations with the different trainers the different coaches leading into the broadcast. And I guess Jim sort of disclosed that, Jamaica's run ending in Vegas was not great for Damian's health, per se.
I've never been to Vegas. I'm a little scared now to try going out there to see if I can survive Vegas.
Nah, Vegas is an awesome time. We try to go out at least once a year for a couple of days. I love Vegas. Honest with you, we go hiking. There's a lot of great hiking out there.
Yeah.
So.
But the thing to remember is that these guys probably don't enjoy the things that we enjoy on a weekly basis, right? So alcohol probably isn't something that they probably enjoy too often. And when they do, it probably hits a lot harder than it should.
It's just a night of debauchery as soon as the alcohol starts running.
Yeah, and think about the run that Jamaica just went on, right? Why wouldn't you celebrate just how well they did? Yeah. Kudos to Damian. And just, I think, just kind of reiterate everything you guys said. We are such a different team with both Waino in, maybe Low in as well. But I think we also need to always preface when we talk about Bedoya, just how thankful we are for his time with the union so far and what he's done for the city, et cetera, et cetera. It's almost like my disclaimer every time we talk about him, because we do talk kind of poorly about him. So, yeah, no, obviously a pivotal piece in shaping what the union are now versus what they were at his arrival in a way. And sure, there's other pieces that were a part of it, but you cannot deny that he is obviously a leader on and off the field. So just always that disclaimer when we criticize the hell out of him.
I'm curious from Kyle and Jillian, you two. I mean, listen, Bedoya eventually will no longer be the captain. I think Blake might be the next one in line, as we've seen multiple times. Who would you want to be the captain out of all the players out there?
I mean, yeah, Blake's good. I mean, obviously, because he's a Jamaican captain, but we also know it's hard to be the captain in the goalkeeper box, because it's easier to be all the way out there in the field. But to Blake's credit, we've seen plenty of times, especially during the playoffs last year, him running, sprinting down the field and sprinting all the way back and making a big save. So, but I'd love to see somebody like Jack or Jacob, one of those two vets out there. I think they both would be good.
And Jacob was captain when we didn't have Andre or Bedoya in there.
And an interesting thing, and this came up in another discussion with some friends. Have you noticed that Ernst a lot of times will sign players from other clubs that were captains at their former clubs, or at least have had leadership roles at their former clubs? I forget, was it Billy that brought it up? I forget, you might not have been in that.
I wasn't in that.
Yeah, like it was something like this was like maybe a year or two ago. We were just going through it and just looking over the, Glesnes was, Bueno was, I believe Martinez was one of the captains. Just things like that. And it was very interesting. So there's good leadership on this team. But yeah, I would love to see Jack or Jacob maybe be the captain.
Eric mentions if El Brujo was a captain, team would set records for yellow cards. It'd be a very violent squad. I mean, it's funny because I feel like Martinez is such like the heart of our team, but at the same time, like, he could never be the captain. He would be the one starting the fights, not trying to calm them down. I know. I agree. I think Curtin's kind of testing Lessness a bit a few times. We've seen it already now three or four times where he's the captain. So I do think that might be what we see down the road, especially with what's he extended to? 2026, right?
I believe so. Yeah,
we just need a new signing to be on the squad for 5 days and just turn the captaincy over to him, kind of like Inter Miami and Messi. Just 5 days into his stay with Inter Miami and walks into being the captain. And yeah, I say that as a joke, and obviously he's probably one of the best players to ever play the sport, and that's all fair and all. But man, what an image that was of him straight up coming off the bench and getting the armband was just kind of like, oh my God, what is going on?
I think the team did a press conference today with the new manager, with Martino and Messi basically announcing that Messi was officially the new club captain. And I think Gregor was the old club captain. He's now officially had it stripped away from him and everything. So it was a bit of Messi's, as you sort of mentioned, is the greatest player of all time. But like, again, a bit of a weird one, you know, coming in and just completely shaking up the team dynamic. But again, Miami are the worst team in the MLS in terms of, you know, points, like points record this year, and over the form of the last couple of years, really, have been the worst team in the league. So, I mean, maybe the change might work, but couldn't just go look into the game on Wednesday. As Kyle sort of mentioned, as Querétaro are a very good defensive team, and, you know, watching how the way that Tijuana approached the game on Saturday night, they're very for the red card. They're quite an expansive team. They look to try and, you know, play on the front foot and attack the Union. And again, the game became very open and very stretched quite quickly before, you know, the red cards. As we sort of mentioned as well, like, the Union struggled to take over games. And if Querétaro are going to come there and Subaru Park and hold out and try and defend, like, are we just going to see the Union just fail to break down another team and get caught in the counterattack?
That's a fair point.
That's going to be like the big issue, is how are they going to adapt to a team playing the Union at their own games? We have seen that times this year where opposing teams have come to Subaru Park or played the Union even at home and gone, do you know what? We know that they can't play on the front foot, so we are going to sit back and make them attack us. And we've seen that, you know, quite often teams have, I think we had that discussion earlier in the year, like have teams started to find out or have found out the way that Union play, and because they are so stubborn, they fail to adapt, and we all realize that.
And I think that's kind of where it kind of comes back full circle with Damian Lowe being in that three in the back, changing the formation, yeah, just doing something different, because that's when the Union season started to come around, is when they finally said, you know what, we can't do what we did against LAFC, you know. And we even talked about Jim mentioning that in the press conference. He was like, hey, you know, we can do better. I can do better. Him almost admitting that changes need to come. So we finally got that, and I'm very excited for Wednesday. But, Dave, I was thinking about that too earlier. If they just parked the bus, are we just going to be seeing like a 0-0 game in the 80th yeah. minute, just praying that Daniel gets a PK to kind of just send us to the next round?
Repeating the Atlas game earlier in the season, which, again, never red card. I think every single game the Union have played against a Mexican team this season, there has been a red card for the opposition team. That's three games in a row, which is kind of crazy. I believe it's three games in a row,
Atlas had, right.
I think now the guy had that meltdown.
Now you realize that. We're jinxing that. Now we're going to get three correct cards. go ahead, Dave.
No, sir. It's good to jump on it as well, I think. Again, this weekend, I think, Wednesday, sorry, is going to be a good, like, way for the Union to make a statement. I think, again, I think Tijuana probably are a better team than Carretero overall. So I think it's a big opportunity for the Union to, you know, try and make a statement, you know, try and, you know, actually, again, like, it would have been nice to have won by three or four goals or four or five goals over in the situation they're in. You know, try and be a bit more clinical, have a bit of a killer instinct inside the penalty area, and, you know, try and finish the game off and actually play on the front foot. I'm hoping that Jim can do that. He can try and send the team out there. And I'd be interested to see if, you know, perhaps he just played the more attack line people with the back three, you know, if he gives, you know, Jose Martinez more of a license to play forward. Because again, I'm still on the train that he is the best ball carrier on the team. He is the best technical footballer on that team who can take the ball from point A to point B, get you up the field. And we saw it again against Tijuana. I think he did really well with the turn of pace to get beyond a player out wide and putting a great cross into the box. I think, again, that's just something that the Union does lack in midfield. I think Jack McGinn's a great ball-playing player. Gazdag's a very smart player, but Martinez has that it factor where, you know, if you give him the ball, he can make something happen.
Or give it away.
Yeah, or give it away. And that's where Bueno becoming that kind of, you know, somewhat Jose Martinez vibe is really dangerous for opponents to deal with, you know?
I think as well, Bueno is a safer player in a sense. He doesn't take as many risks. We saw that when he has played the six beforehand.
Yeah.
Whereas, as you sort of mentioned, Jose, I'd rather Martinez do what he does 15 yards inside the opposition half, out on the right wing, where there's cover, as opposed to in the middle of between the two centre-backs, thinking, oh, I can, you know, I've got time, I can turn out and try something fancy with a flick. No one's going to pressure me on the edge of my own penalty area. And then, boom, lose the ball. And I think I just personally would love to see Jose with more creative freedom to actually play in the more advanced role. We've seen him score a couple of goals now. We know that he can get in these positions when given the licence to push up. So, fingers crossed.
Definitely. Well, listen, guys, it's been an hour now. It's 10:30 on a Monday night, so we got to wrap ourselves up. But before we do, Kyle and Jillian, first of all, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
I love talking to you guys. It's actually been nice actually getting to know you at the you know, tailgate, and actually not just being a Twitter account that we talk to from time to time.
Right.
So before we sign off, I would love to know, just again, another plug from your show. When's the next episode coming out? What's to expect from you guys moving forward?
Well, our next episode, depending on when I get to it, will either be tomorrow at some point or Wednesday morning. Just got to get through the editing and production. So, and do you want to do the show plugs for us?
Yeah, so we can be found on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook. On Twitter, it's at TOTWAG, and it's One Team We Agree on Facebook and Instagram. We have not gotten on to Threads or any of that yet. We're on YouTube as well. And you can find our pod on all your major podcasting platforms, Apple,
and
Spotify,
figured out,
and so on.
And we figured out on Spotify how to get the video loaded. So if you are watching on Spotify, the videos will be coming out just like YouTube.
Yep. And then you can interact with us on our individual Twitter handles as well. We're on there pretty often. Okay. Yep. At Coach Almany for Kyle, and at Silly_Jilly for me.
Love it.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah,
and
no,
we should have another one come out soon.
Yeah, you know, you guys are what, 40 episodes now?
Last night was 40.
You guys are just pumping them out. My goodness, you're catching up to us. We're only at episode like 80 because we only do once a week, and then we took a little break from it. So y'all are going to be catching us real soon. but again, no, you guys are a really great show. I do love that it's different. I feel like sometimes these podcasts all sound the same after a while. So I've actually probably watched yours more recently than I think anybody's at this point, besides our own, obviously. Right. Because it's different. It's unique. For someone myself who's not a big X's and O's guy as well, and I love fashion, I love kits and all that stuff. For me, it's like, I can't wait to see what's at the shop this week. You know, it's great.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, see one of the new things we got?
Yeah.
The pink hat. You know, I got the pink hat.
I know. Yeah. I saw your pink sneakers. I was like, okay, she knows how to rock some pink.
Well, Mike, you were at the tailgate when I think it was it you and
Paul and me, and I were both looking at the pink hats on.
Yeah, and then they came over to me and they're like, "We're getting this." I'm like, "No," and I was like, totally against it. Well, you see who won out at the end of the day.
Well, it's funny because we went in the team store. We usually go in to check out the merch and see if there's anything new. And I hadn't been in there yet because I was using the bathroom. And I come in, and Kyle's already in there. And he's like, "Oh, I think they're out of them." And
I was like, "Yes, they're out."
And then I look over and I see at like near the checkout, there's a guy doing like inventory on a box of like more of the pink hats.
Yeah.
And there was like two other ladies and their husband's like, look at, and they're like, we all like kind of look over and like, ooh. And we kind of start like kind of moving over that way. And the guy's like, he smiles and he's like, all right, who wants one? And I was like, me.
And, I know, it's fitting for the Barbie movie, right? The Barbie Union hat. So it's perfect.
Yeah, so, I mean, and I like pink, so yeah. So
You guys have don't have kids. You guys have pets, though, right?
Right. Yeah,
so you guys are the definition of dinks, double income, no kids?
Yep.
Exactly.
Pretty
yeah,
much.
No, I got to check out the pink hat. I'm sure my kid would want one.
Your daughter would love that, Mike.
I might get one for myself. I mean, I can rock pink. Let's call her what it is. No, so I'll definitely check out your next episode. I'm very excited. But again, Jillian and Kyle, thank you so much. The One Team We Agree On. It's a great show if you guys haven't checked it out yet. Dave, I know the Jills are starting out pretty soon, so I know you're going to get busy with them. But you'll be watching the game tomorrow night as well?
I will be at work, but I will be watching the game Thursday morning.
Good. We'll wake you up at some point and then talk about it. And Jose, again, I know you'll be there Wednesday as well as Friday, possibly, right, for Wrexham?
I will be there Wednesday. Wrexham depends on getting a credential, which I can't imagine I wouldn't, considering the circumstances of it. But also be on the lookout for another quick little video that we put together from a quote from Andre Blake, and then also some more content that we'll continue to sprinkle throughout the next couple of weeks. It seems like those are working fairly well. I think people are appreciating those quick, you know. Well, Miguel Herrera's wasn't really all that quick. It was a whole minute and a half of him just blasting the referees, but typically you know, we put together 20-30 second videos where whether you want to listen or read, you can. And I try my best, honestly, and this is maybe sort of my mission, and sort of letting players speak in the language that they prefer, and typically that being Spanish, because that's what I can do very well, very quickly. So I hope that folks are appreciating those.
We got to bring on somebody who speaks like Danish or something. Just mix it up, little Germans. There are some languages out there.
Well,
but no, I appreciate the translating the Spanish. That's been good.
Especially for people like
very good,
like Jose Martinez. People want to hear what Brujo has to say. So
I know, I loved that. Yeah.
Oh my god, I know, it's great. But again, guys, this is Across the Pitch. Again, Kyle and Jillian will have their next episode out soon, so please check that out. But otherwise, the Union will be back in action on Wednesday. The Union 2 will be in action on Friday against Wrexham, which I know we talked about on previous episode. But otherwise, go Union. Happy Monday night, guys.
Go Union.